flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well, it is kind of nice to be back in the studio here at St. Hubert's Cathedral. I want to extend the thanks to all the listeners who came out last week to shop and sample some of that delicious Uncle Larry's gumbo, and just to say hello at our on-location broadcast at Scott's Marine over in Alberta, Alabama. We had a great time. Our next on-location broadcast is going to be at Marsh and Bayou's Mandeville store. That'll be coming up on Saturday, April 6th, doing their Spring Fling celebration. A lot of good deals on spring fishing equipment, and they'll have some of their guests that'll be showing up there and some fishing guides to chat with you. So put it on your calendar. We'll be there from 5 to 7 and actually hang around a little bit longer at Marsh and Bayou. They'll be opening the store early that morning, Saturday, April 6th. And a special good morning to those contestants that are listening in while they're preparing their wild game dishes for me to judge tonight. I look forward to taste testing your dishes and meeting the members tonight in the New Beginnings organization, their wild game cook-off. Second annual, that's going to be in Covington, Louisiana this evening. And good luck to the Mississippi turkey hunters. Oh, I am so jealous of your early opening in Mississippi, unlike the later-than-it-should-be season we have here in Louisiana. I'd like to hear from you before you head into the woods to listen for those thundering gobbles. If you're going to be turkey hunting in Mississippi, you can text that along with your fishing reports, your comments, and your questions, 504-260-1870. And speaking of good luck, I drew the winning ticket in the Mississippi CCA boat raffle at the Biloxi Boat Show on my way home from Alabama last week, and oddly enough, I happen to know the winner. I'll tell you his story, his lucky story. And this morning, if you're going to be with us into the second hour, you're going to hear how you can earn a $12,500 reward for an anonymous tip. And you'll also hear the story of a Louisiana man who is alleged to have already killed three turkeys before the season opens and another before last season opened, and he's looking at a huge fine if convicted as our bad boy of the outdoors. Also got those ever-popular fishing reports from our pro staffers from around the Gulf Coast. Also got that coastal marine forecast for you. It's not looking bad today. About a 40% chance of rain. I don't see much on the radar except some that is off the mouth of the river several miles offshore into the Gulf, and that is even moving to the east, but there's more coming, about a 90% chance of some heavy stuff tomorrow, so today is probably your better day to get out and fish and hunt. Northeast winds, 5 knots, 2 to 3 foot seas offshore, that's very fishable, and on the interior lakes and bays, those northeast 5 knot winds will bring about some smooth conditions. A good average tide, it'll vary depending on where you are, but the average is about 1.4. Mississippi River stage, kind of low for this time of the year, 5.8 and holding steady. Could be some morning fog out there, and we'll check in with some of our field reporters and get a little better update on that. So we got a lot to talk about this morning, and we love to talk with you. We do that via our text board. Tell us who you are, where you are, and what you got going on this Saturday morning. That number again, 504-260-1870. Got a cleanup day scheduled tomorrow at Shell Beach. Will it go on due to the weather? We'll find out when we talk to Robbie Campo. He's up next right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we head down to Shell Beach, Campo's Marina, bring in Robbie Campo. Robbie, how's the fog situation down there this morning?
Well, actually, Don, I'm in Ocala, Florida, Turkey.
I know what you're doing.
Heck yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, I talked to my sister over there. She said that it rained this morning, and but she said it's blowing pretty good out the northwest this morning. So, pretty good. It's got a 10 mph northwest wind down there, for the most part. So, he was asking about the cleanup, Don. I heard that this is what I'm told now, because I've been gone since Thursday. So they had moved that to March the 30th now because of the weather being bad tomorrow. So that cleanup, Bayou cleanup, is now moved to March 30th.
All right, want everybody to make a note of those volunteers that plan to go out there tomorrow.
Right.
I think that's a good move because the forecast is looking like nothing but bad tomorrow. Tomorrow is not your day to be out on the water for sure. Well, tell me, have you had a chance to get in the woods yet, or is this going to be your first morning?
Actually, this is opening morning. This is opening morning here. I got here yesterday. You know, Thursday night, and hung out with the guys there yesterday. We're going out this morning and go see if we could put one on the ground here in Ocala, Florida this morning.
Robbie, for people that are not familiar with the Osceola versus the Eastern, what are the differences in the turkey, size-wise and maybe behavior-wise? Is there much difference?
Not really, Don. I could tell you I've been hunting these Osceolas for, probably 4 years now. And I've been hunting turkeys for 20 years, but Osceolas for the last 4 years. They're a little bit smaller bird, generally. They're not that, that 25-pound turkey. They're real, generally a smaller bird. But they pretty much act the same way as an Eastern does. I was speaking with a biologist one day that lives down here, and I said, well, what's the difference between an Osceola and an Eastern? And he told me the Kissimmee River. So I don't really know what that means, but they really are. They're a smaller. They're fun to hunt. It's just, I think the Eastern is probably one of the smartest species out of all of the four. Don, have I hunted them all? Yes, I have. I've killed them all. But I tell you, this Osceola thing is just, it draws you back to it every year.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those Rios are probably the dumbest, if you can call them dumb. And then the Miriams, and then the Osceola, and probably the Eastern. Osceola probably pretty close to it. Any difference in the markings or the coloration? Or are they pretty much a smaller Eastern?
It's pretty much the same as an Eastern, but it's but they got different bands on the wings a little bit. But there's a little bit difference. They're a little bit darker bird generally, but hey, I'm just here to kill a turkey, so I'm trying to put a grand slam on the ground this year. So trying to do my second one, so it'll be fun to do.
Yep, good luck. The grand slam consists.
I tell you now, Don.
Yeah.
But as far as the fishing goes, if you're going fishing down there, it's been an exciting week. They've caught a lot of fish right in the Mr. Go, right up near. Near Shell Beach, going towards Barrett. Them trout are starting to get in that channel, and they're starting to turn on pretty good now that the water's warmed back up. But I know we got another pool front coming, so that's probably going to slow things down a little bit. But if you can get out today, today I think is probably going to be a better day than tomorrow. But this past week, the fishing was still pretty exciting, man. They put a lot of fish on the table this week. Biloxi Marsh was real good. And we got a lot of shrimp on hand, so hook the left at the bridge and go down there and see them.
All right, send us some pictures, Robbie. Must be getting close to daylight over there because y'all a little earlier from being further east over there.
Actually, Don, it's pitch dark right now. It don't get daylight here until about 7:15. So we got a little bit of time left.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Robbie. Thanks for the report. And want to remind everybody the cleanup that was scheduled for tomorrow, clean up the Bayou Day, has been rescheduled to Sunday, March 30th due to the inclement weather. Good luck, Robbie. Send us some pictures.
All right,
and we'll catch up with you next week when you get back in town.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All righty. Robbie Campo got the shotgun instead of the fishing pole this morning. And turkey seasons, yeah, they're getting ready to, they're open already in Mississippi. In fact, my friend Toby Cooper just sent me a picture. He scored yesterday. And we got P-Money checking in. Possum, she and Mason both got turkeys yesterday. P-Money and Rooster, they were drawn for the Upper Sardis WMA for Sunday and Monday. You know, there's a new rule. I'm not sure how recent. It might just be this past year, or maybe a year before. But if you hunt public land in Mississippi and you're a non-resident, you actually have to apply and be drawn from a lottery. There's a lot of competition to hunt on that public land in Mississippi because there's some good turkey hunting there. All right, if you got a text you want to share with us, it's 504-260-1870. And when we come back, going to talk about the winner of the boat raffle that was held at the Biloxi Boat Show. I drew the winning ticket, and as luck would have it, I happen to know who the winner was. And made him very happy. Also got some other news to tell you, too, if you're a duck hunter, especially be listening. We'll be right back to do it after this pause where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, let's get a freshwater fishing report from Blaine Salter checking in with us from Salter's Jigging Poles. Blaine, good morning. What can you tell us, man? We ought to be in prime season, if not very close to it.
Well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You know, welcome to the time of year where your hopes get up really, really high and you can really be successful. And then the following day, you can scratch your head and go, why do I even chase this fishery? But some good news is that the turkey hunters are now scheduled to get off of the water. And some of our local areas are showing up just unbelievable numbers. Last week, if I didn't get 15 sets of pictures from anglers in that Jack Miller's area, just before, you know, Bayou Pigeon, if you're coming from LA-1, the Jack Miller's, Bay Natchez area, I bet you produced more limits this year than you can imagine. I mean, folks I know that couldn't catch a sackalay if they tried were catching limits. And, you know, it's a, you know, Facebook really works when, if you don't believe in the power of social media, but I got a phone call, Blaine, there's 140 boats at Jack Miller's landing on a Tuesday. You know, yeah, that the fish are biting when that many boats are out. But, they are hot and then they are not. You know, this is the time of year where, well, we're scheduled to have that small rise in the river all the way up to about March 29th, it looks like. And you know what happens in that slow rise? You can still get them, but your timing has got to be right where you're right before these couple of days of the cold front. So if you're going fishing, you better get out there this morning because the next couple of days are looking pretty bad. But the reports, you know, on the opposite side of the spillway have been very good, and the spillway is a little unpredictable. I heard a few good reports in the Grand River area, and you know, on the map, it's called the Upper Flats, but we call those the Grand River Flats. If you remember, Bob Scarce was famous for making many TV shows with my dad in that area, and it's probably the most picturesque area in the whole entire basin. And you can get in there right now, but you got to catch it. The water's on a little rise, so the water's a little mucked up in that part of the spillway. But the Bob Marigwin area was producing just big fish. You know, there's a lot of deep holes throughout that part of the spillway. And if you know where they are, if you can fish off of those fish move in and out, and they're kind of in a post-spawn pattern. You know, in the Lake Barrett area, we're getting a lot of calls where we were catching inland, you know, inside the bayous, but now they're moved to kind of a post-spawn area, and everybody's more successful in the lake, but you better watch your wind conditions on that lake because you can get caught up real fast on the wrong side of it. And if you've ever been there, you know, it can get dangerous pretty quick. But the Shell Beach side is producing on the treetops, especially on the outside of the areas of some of the surrounding bayous that the fall, when you catch that lake on a fall or on a low tide, you know, Lake Verrett, it's so affected by the tide. And it's this time of the month, it's time to go and fish the laydowns in the lake. And, I tell you, we still argue a lot. My favorite bait there is just the blue and white, and I've got people that use all kind of colors. But when you catch them in the right time in the spawn, you catch them.
All right, let's get a freshwater fishing report from Blaine Salter checking in with us from Salter's Jigging Poles. Blaine, good morning. What can you tell us, man? We ought to be in prime season, if not very close to it.
Well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. You know, welcome to the time of year where your hopes get up really, really high and you can really be successful. And then the following day, you can scratch your head and go, why do I even chase this fishery? But some good news is that the turkey hunters are now scheduled to get off of the water. And some of our local areas are showing up just unbelievable numbers. Last week, if I didn't get 15 sets of pictures from anglers in that Jack Miller's area, just before, you know, Bayou Pigeon, if you're coming from LA-1, the Jack Miller's Bay Natchez area, I bet you produced more limits this year than you can imagine. I mean, folks I know that couldn't catch a sackalay if they tried were catching limits. And, Facebook really works when if you don't believe in the power of social media. But I got a phone call. Blaine, there's 140 boats at Jack Miller's Landing on a Tuesday. You know that the fish are biting when that many boats are out. But they are hot, and then they are not. You know, this is the time of year where we're scheduled to have that small rise in the river all the way up to about March 29th. It looks like. And you know what happens in that slow rise? You can still get them, but your timing has got to be right where you're right before these couple days of the cold front. So if you're going fishing, you better get out there this morning because the next couple days are looking pretty bad. But the reports, you know, on the opposite side of the spillway have been very good, and the spillway is a little unpredictable. I heard a few good reports in the Grand River area, you know, on the map, it's called the Upper Flats, but we call those the Grand River Flats. If you remember, Bob Scarce was famous for making many TV shows with my dad in that area, and it's probably the most picturesque area in the whole entire basin. And you can get in there right now, but you got to catch it. The water's on a little rise, so the water's a little mucked up in that part of the spillway. But the Bi-Marguin area was producing just big fish. You know, there's a lot of deep holes throughout that part of the spillway. And if you know where they are, if you can fish off of those fish move in and out, and they're kind of in a post-spawn pattern. You know, in the Lake Barrette area, we're getting a lot of calls where we were catching inland, you know, inside the bayous, but now they're moved to kind of a post-spawn area, and everybody's more successful in the lake, but you better watch your wind conditions on that lake because you can get caught up real fast on the wrong side of it. And if you've ever been there, you know, it can get dangerous pretty quick. But the Shell Beach side is producing on the treetops, especially on the outside of the areas of some of the surrounding bayous that the fall, when you catch that lake on a fall or on a low tide, you know, Lake Verrett it's so affected by the tide, and it's this time of the month, it's time to go and fish the laydowns in the lake. And, I tell you, we still argue a lot. My favorite bait there is just the blue and white, and I've got people that use all kind of colors. But when you catch them in the right time in the spawn, you catch them.
Got it. You mentioned a lot of spots, Jack Miller's, Bay Natchez, Pigeon, Spillway, Lake Verrett. Would you say that blue and white bait that is probably the hot bait, and how do you work it to be successful this time of the year?
Well, what you have to do is be able to fish the shallow and that blue and white. I use a tube jig. Now, a lot of folks have gone to a hair jig, but the key to working that bait is you want to have the lightest bait possible so you can slow the fall of that bait. I think that's probably one of the most important things. And I'm biased because I love a blue and white. Just because the water clarity calls for blue and white right now. And that water has started to fall, and that blackish water's finally gotten out of the woods. And that color just seems to be one that works. But the key to that is go with the lightest bait possible, a 1/64th or nothing more than a 1/32nd, because you're trying to slow the fall of that bait to pick off where those fish are holding. And they can be anywhere from 2 to 3 feet of water in those areas, out into a post-spawn pattern in 6 and 7 feet. So we've been successful on both sides of that aisle. You know, we fished a tournament a few weeks back where we were catching fish in 2 feet of water, and out the other side we were live scoping and catching in 8 feet of water at the same time. So the spawn on the spillway side and the opposite side are two totally different times because those water temperatures get right at different times. So it's hard to predict the spawn here in Louisiana, unlike up north in the reservoirs. You can time it perfectly. Here it's still unpredictable because we're still catching fish with plenty of eggs, and then we're catching fish with, you know, they've already released and gone. So we're right in the middle of that area where we don't know if they're for sure spawning or not, but it's on because you can catch fish in just a lot of different depths. But the key is get out there before the crowd gets there because it's still unbelievable. I'm still looking for the bass fishermen. You know, I used to go out and go fishing and see, say, 8 to 10 bass fishermen for every 2 crappie fishermen or saccolade fishermen, and now it seems like it's the total opposite. I'm looking for these bass guys to get back on the water.
Yeah, and like you said, the turkey hunters are clearing out, so it's making room for more folks. Well, I tell you, I'm with you on that blue and white. My second choice is, of course, the black and chartreuse when that Catawba worm time comes around. Blaine, what I'd like you to do is try to keep an eye on the Tickfaw and the Tangipahoa rivers because, you know, they suffered from Hurricane Ida. There was some fish kills there where there weren't many fish kills in other areas, and it really hurt the fishing, but it made kind of a comeback last year, and I'm hoping it'll make a full comeback this year. So if you get some reports from that area.
I did get a report.
Did tell us about it.
I did get one report. The Tickfaw had a gentleman, you know, he fishes, he does fish with live scope. You know, some of the old schoolers are starting to finally warm up to that live scope or the live sonar technology because of just of how much dead water it allows you to eliminate. And he did catch, let's see, I got reports of 10 to 15, and they were all males, but in deeper water. So that kind of lets me know, hey, they may have not fully spawned there. They may still be right in the middle of it. But I think it was about 2 miles inland from Marpaw, mm-hmm. you know, in the laydowns in the Tickfaw. So those areas, and a lot of the locals keep it there. A lot of folks don't travel to go there, but you know, you put live sonar on your boat, it doesn't limit you where you can go. You can always go and scan and find fish. Doesn't mean you can catch them, but what a tool it is just to eliminate dead water and make your time more successful if you have it on the water.
Very good. I'm glad you got that report, and good to hear that those rivers are back on the rebound. Blaine, anything else before you go?
Oh, I wanted to say thank you for a couple weeks ago. I got a hold of Chris over at Martian Bayou, and I'm looking forward to that in a few weeks, being a part of that event.
Well, good. But, you can do a report live on location. We'll be doing the show there with you.
Oh, well, that'll be great. And then I'll be traveling. I got invited, of all places, they invited me to the Bassmaster Classic coming up next week. So I fly in Friday. I got to meet a little fella. He might be a little famous. His name is Jimmy Houston. If you ever heard of him, he was down at the Louisiana Sportsman a couple weeks back at these shows.
Well, that's 60-year-old guy with bangs, isn't that him?
Yeah, he got to see a demonstration, and I got to show him one. I tell you what, I got him to take those glasses off and look at me, and he said, "Son, the apple don't fall far from the tree." So he knew Dad from years ago. So it was awesome to see. See that people across the country, even though we didn't have the internet those times of year, how those famous guys all knew each other. So it's going to be quite an honor.
Quite an honor, and you certainly deserve it. And Blaine, people can tell you hello at the Sportsman, the Outdoor Expo going on at Lamar Dixon. You're going to be set up there today, so I want to invite people to stop by and talk a little fishing with you because that's one of the things you do so well, just like your dad.
Well, I appreciate it, Don. Well, we'll be there today, and then it's showtime, so I'll be traveling. And then come April, though, I'm taking some time off, and I'm going to try to get off on some water and give these shows a little break. It's the showtime of year, but it starts to slow down a little bit in April. I can finally see some water time.
Sounds good. Thanks for the report, Blaine. We really appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, sir.
All right. That's Blaine Salto. We'll catch up with him next time. All right. We come back after this. Your text messages, 504-260-1870. Calling all Mississippi turkey hunters. I hear that something's killing the turkeys in Mississippi. It's a death that's expected to spread into Alabama shortly and then in here to Louisiana. I think it's caused by some form of lead poisoning. We'll be back to talk more about it right here. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. You know, last week on my return from Alabama, I made a stop in Biloxi, Mississippi at the Biloxi Boat Show. The Mississippi CCA guys had asked me if I wouldn't mind stopping by and drawing the winning raffle ticket for that beautiful 2023 Tidewater Baymax powered with a 200-horse Yamaha and also a McLean trailer, the complete rig. And I did, and as luck would have it, congratulations go to Eric Cook, and I drew his name and talked to him on the phone, and he was really excited. And turns out I know Eric Cook, Chef Eric Cook. Actually did a TV feature with Chef Eric. We did it at Dickie Brennan's. He was the chef there, and we were doing a feature on the Cook You Catch, where some restaurants have been permitted by the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. If you catch a fish and you bring it to the restaurant, they will cook it for you. And that's exactly what we did. We went and caught some redfish down in Lafitte, brought them down in ice chests to Dickie Brennan's, put them in the kitchen, and Chef Eric did some really marvelous stuff. When I first met him, when he told me his last name was Cook, I said, yeah, right, come on. Actually, it is. So congratulations to Eric Cook. Hope you enjoy your new Tidewater boat. All right, I'm going to get to your text messages when we come back, but first we got to pause a quick 10 seconds to let those local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we get text messages. Let's see, where do we start? Oh, my friend Wingbone, he's up early listening, and he said he enjoyed being at Scott's Marine in Alberta last weekend, and we enjoyed having you, Wingbone, and that was your premier appearance on radio, and you did a great job talking about that beautiful craft you do, making wingbone turkey calls. Really, not only are they beautiful art, they're also an effective tool to kill a turkey, too. And Toby, he says, you know what time of year it is, baby, at least in the SIP, as he calls Mississippi. He had an epic hunt yesterday morning and hoping to repeat this morning. They are gobbling great. Love the show, and thanks for the picture, Toby. You're off to a great start. And, yeah, turkeys are gobbling. They're gobbling here in Louisiana. Our season should be open. Are you listening, Wildlife and Fisheries? All right, we're hearing from Captain Ross L. Says the redfish were hot this week. Yesterday they caught a limit, 15. That's probably three fishermen within 1 hour, and also picked up some trout on the west side. Doesn't sound like there's any shortage of slot reds over there down at Cajun Fishing Adventures. And here's, a texting from Ponchatoula going to the Oyster Festival in a meet. That is the texter 7454, no name, but yeah, they got an oyster. I never could figure out why an oyster festival would be held in Amite, Louisiana, which is many, many miles from any oyster beds. But there is a processing plant. At least there was. I'm not sure it's still there. That did oysters up in Amite, and the oysters are good anywhere. As Tommy Satanovich of Drago's Restaurant said, it's the single best bite of food anywhere in Louisiana. All right, time for another break. Listen to these important messages. When we come back, I'll get back to your text messages. If you want to shoot us one, it is 504-260-1870. That's the number to contact us here at the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's see. Where do we start on these text messages? Let's see. We left off with the Oyster Festival in Amite. Here's one that says, good morning, Mr. Don. What time does your day start on Saturdays before you show? Tell us what it takes to bring us your show we love so much. Thank you for your sacrifice. That's from The Worm listening to us. Well, you know, I get up about 10 minutes to 5. And no. Normally it's 3:30, and there's a few things to do. Got to check, for any reports, weather that's coming up, and get up to the date on the tide ranges and the wind directions and the rain chances, and also check on any late messages, late breaking news that might have happened on a Friday night. And of course, I got equipment to check out, and it's about a 150-step walk to my studio here at St. Hubert's Cathedral, and turn on the microphones, and Cullen Steele back at the mothership tells me he's got me, and we do a check, and we're ready to go. So it's not a real big deal. It takes a little bit of preparation during the week. I don't know, maybe a couple of hours gathering information and doing a little bit of writing and preparing an outline for the show. But that's kind of how it is. Easy enough, huh? All right, let's see. We have this one. Good morning, Mr. Don. I was just wondering if you got the picture I emailed you of my grandfather's 1959 tarpon rodeo hat. That's from the River Rat. I haven't seen it yet. Don't know where you sent it, but I've got several emails. And one you can do at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com and just find the contact button. That's one of them, and that probably would be the best way, because on this text board, I can't take any pictures. You can't attach them. It's strictly for text. So if you send it to the text, we need to do it through email. And I'll be looking forward to seeing that. All right, here's one says, if it's all possible, Can the freshwater report be before 6? Several of us listen waiting for it before work starts. Well, it just so happens we accommodate you. Blaine Salter's Freshwater Fishing Reports will be a mainstay at 5:20 every Saturday morning. So that will give you plenty of time before work starts. You guys can listen to radio when you're working, can't you? All right, Eric Campo checking in from Shell Beach. Eric's an outstanding outboard motor mechanic, an expert technician. He says it's time to pressure wash the camp today. Last Saturday, a lot of wind, but they still put a nice box of fish together. He let 3 fish go over 20 inches with his 7-year-old grandson. I'm sure he's talking about the 20-inch speckled trout. That is the new limit. If you catch any, you can only keep 2 over 20 inches. And I can see where that's going to be a problem for some people. If you're fishing out in those open bays, those outer bays, the Chandelier Sound, Breton Sound, when the fishing gets good in the summertime, 20-inch trout can be pretty common. Sometimes that's all you catch out there. And this one's from my friend David in Mobile. It was great to see me and Uncle Larry last week at Scott's Marine in Alberta, Alabama. He finally got to meet the famous Wingbone in person. The owner there, Lucio Orfanello, has a beautifully well-stocked outfit. He and his folks were nice and welcoming. Hope a lot of people were able to attend the open house and check him out. Thanks for that, David, and it was great seeing you as always. Lafitte LT says, sounds like the fish are starting to heat up. Got a state wrestling meet for the grandson in Baton Rouge. Shaw Eagles junior wrestlers. All right, good for them. Good luck to them, Lafitte LT. And, talking about that lead poisoning on turkeys, 5492 says, nowadays it's mostly TSS poisoning, LOL, or TSS disease. And what they're talking about there, the loads I use for turkey is a 3.5-inch Federal Premium copper-plated number 6s with a 2-ounce load. And to me, that was the best money could buy to shoot in my Mossberg with the extreme turkey choke on it. But I got to tell you, I have been impressed with TSS. Girlfriend Janice killed one with TSS. We were hunting up in Texas. And my grandnephew, Drew, who will be joining us when the youth turkey season comes around here in Louisiana, he'll be doing the show with us probably. He put it on a gobbler last year, his first turkey with 20-gauge TSS, and some people even using it in 410s. It's got an extended range, very expensive shell, but I got to tell you, I'm very impressed, and probably would be the, if you could get any shell, that would be the turkey hunting shell of choice. It's TSS. All right, here's one says, a couple of weeks ago you spoke about a Victoria's Secret cologne that keeps gnats and mosquitoes off of you. I didn't catch the name of it. Please repeat it on air. I'd like to get some. The gnats are horrible on the Gulf Coast. Nothing worse than gnats to ruin your day. Actually, it's not a cologne. It is actually a product that was made for the ladies. It's called Amber Romance. And it's either in a spray bottle or you can get it in a lotion. And it's the most effective thing I've ever used for gnats. Now, it doesn't do anything for mosquitoes, I've found. But the gnats, it's the best thing. And like any repellent, you've got to keep applying it because, you know, you're sweating your arms and hands. And you're also dipping your hands into the bait well, which, you know, that can be a no-no. I'd use a net, a little dip net, to make sure you don't put that stuff in the water because it might kill your live shrimp or menace. But anyway, it's called Victoria's Secret. And the name of it is Amber Romance, and I have had ladies who work at Victoria's Secret tell me when they see a guy come in with cut-off shorts and a baseball cap, they know what he's looking for. The Amber Romance, they've heard it so many times, people looking for it. All right, here's back in Happy Jack. Haven't had much luck down here. The weather's usually beautiful all week at work, but when I get down there, it's blowing. Have to say a little fisherman's prayer. I hope my luck changes. Yeah, I do hope it. And here's one confirming there is still an oyster warehouse in Amite, Louis. Some people call it Amite. Most people say Amite. And here's one says, no fishing today. Work day at the Mars Luquette Camp in Dulac. Getting ready for the Dulac Fishing Club Crawfish Boil. Started 40 years ago. Still going strong. And yes, those crawfish prices are dropping. Not quickly and fast enough as we'd like it, but they're getting down there. And this one says it's Uncle David checking in. Said you were going to check what the name Happy Jack came from. Still wondering. I'm still looking, still checking. We'll let you know when I find out. Best place to hunt turkeys. Well, you know, you got to give me some a starting point. Are you in Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, north, south? And I'll give you some suggestions there. The most best places are on private hunting leases, but there are some good WMAs. All right, we'll be back to get some more of your text messages. Also got a fishing report coming from the Grand Isle area. Captain Darrell Carpenter checking in next right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got the Backstrap Stacker checking in from Lake Gunnersville this weekend. He's doing some fishing up there. But next time, it's time to chase Mr. Beady-Eyed Tom. Y'all have a good one. Yeah, we're going to hear from the Beady-Eyed Bird in a couple weeks. All right, let's get to Darrell Carpenter. He's ready and waiting with a fishing report from Grand Isle. Darrell, understand it's blowing a little bit down there this morning, which wasn't really expected.
No, I mean, Don, when I got up at 4, it was dead calm, but, I mean, it's pushing 10 or better now. Just in the last 30, 45 minutes, it started to crank up. The wild story was yesterday. I mean, when that front come through, we had 40-mile-an-hour winds out of the northeast for, I don't know, 2 hours. I mean, we had 3-4-foot waves rolling across the bay. And then we had another round come through about midnight, and the one at midnight was coming out of the north. And, man, that blew all the water out. The water's low, low, low this morning. It's coming up fast, but it's low. And we're just waiting to see what daylight's going to bring us because, I mean, I can tell you it's been a hell of a week, Don. I mean, we covered a lot of water this week, everything from out on the coast, you know, from out on the beaches to back up in the marshes. I mean, out on the beaches, the trout were playing a little bit funny with us. They were playing finicky, but, man, we got into the bull reds, the slot reds, and the sheephead, and I can tell you they're in full spawn because they were all full of eggs. And then, what was it, day before yesterday up in the marsh, I mean, we had a crew that wanted nothing but speckled trout, so we retreated up in the marsh, and I can tell you that they're starting to gang up because once we found them, it was one-stop shop, and then, you know, after an hour, then you got to decide whether you're going to sit there and play catch and release or go home early.
What was your percentage of catch and release and catch and keep?
Well, now while we were still working on our legal limit of fish, we only had 3 throwbacks. But now once that legal limit hit and they looked at us and they're like, really? We've only been on the water an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's like, can we do something? Can we just catch and release? And, you know, we did up until, and you know what I told them was, I don't like doing that on a speckled trout. It's not like it's a redfish.
Right.
But, you know, what I told them was, we can go ahead and catch and release until we gut hook the first one. You know, once, you know, because you always take that chance, you know. And we were using plastic. Caught a lot of our fish on live bait, but we moved to plastic just to conserve the live bait after we had our legal limit. And it, you know, just it wasn't long into it that we had one that swallowed it deep, and I knew he wasn't going to survive the release. And I'm like, guys, look, I'm just not going to sit here and do this, you know?
Right. No, so, no sense in doing that. How much difference has that 1-inch made on that lower end of the slot, that 13-inch going from 12 to 13?
Well, Don, it hasn't yet because of the way it took effect, because of when it took effect. Where it's really going to get us is when we get into those doldrums of summer. When that next year's fish, when you've got these massive schools of last year's fish that is just hitting 12 inches, that's where the adjustment's going to be. You're going to have to leave those to find bigger fish. But then the problem is you find the bigger fish, and after 2 of them, you got to leave them.
That's right. Well, you know, I sure hope most fishermen do exactly what you did. And if you got a limit and you get into them, and instead of just catching, releasing for the heck of it and risking killing a lot of fish, just move on, you know. Maybe go look for some cheap reds.
Right, either that, Don, or, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the layout of my boat, and I'm like, how can I add an extra live well? You know, how can I start live keeping fish, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to have to be some adjustments made. Either that or we're going to, you know, I mean, it's a good thing for us, but you sour your customers, is we're going to have a lot of short days.
Yeah. Tell me something on those sheephead. You said they're full of eggs. If I'm not mistaken, sheephead basically spawn offshore. So those females must be getting ready to move offshore, and they're still inside if you're catching them there, huh?
Yeah, well, Don, we were out on the beach. In fact, that particular day, we were fishing we made ourselves over to the Bayou Lafourche rock jetties, and we were fishing probably 15 feet of water right at the edge where the rock jetties taper off. And it was just, I mean, it was guaranteed sheephead after sheephead. And when we hit the cleaning table, as we started cleaning them, yeah, every one of them was overflowing with eggs. And it was another conservation trip. I mean, we kept what they wanted. And, I mean, it was some RVers from out of town, and all they had was an RV-sized freezer. And, you know, after they got what they figured would fill their freezer, they're like, okay, we're done.
There you go. That's good trips, Darryl. If somebody wants to get one with you, tell them how to find you. I got you on my website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and you got your own website, correct?
Correct. RealScreamers.com. It doesn't matter how you spell it. We got them both. And or just pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
All right. Hopefully you get a couple days off, but I know you're going to have a busy summer.
Oh, we're gonna take a couple days this week, but I'm just hoping we can get today off and what this wind does, because it's really starting to pick up.
Well, if you don't like the wind, you won't like tomorrow's rain forecast. I can tell you that. Cause it's
oh, no. I'm telling you, everything I've got will be on the trailer and tie it down tomorrow, because, man, if that little line we had today yesterday gave us 40 miles an hour, I don't know what tomorrow's going to give us.
Got it. Thanks for the report, Dow. Appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Bye-bye.
All right, coming up next hour, would you like to have $12,500 cash reward and remain anonymous? I'll tell you how you can do it by giving a tip for a future bad boy. We got a current bad boy and more fishing reports that you and I love to talk about on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.